My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Happy Friday. The Bills to talk about. The Olympics just got done with the 10,000-meter run. Love that track has started up. What a race. This one had me thinking when I was talking to Mike Dempsey earlier, I might want to turn the TV off, not because I don't love it, but because it was great and almost too distracting. But look forward to that tonight. You look up and it says 24 laps to go. Man, can't imagine doing anything that hard. But then toward the end, it was really incredible. Warren Sharp is my guest. Warren, I think you were watching.
I was watching it too. I was enthralled. You know, I had the quad box on my TV, on YouTube TV, and then I turned to this race in particular and got caught up in it. You know, I wasn't planning on spending, 30 minutes or so watching this thing. And won't spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but the finish is absolutely electric. And I just don't know how these guys do it. I mean, just forget how long of a race they have to run at top. If they finish at the end and the number of bodies that are flying around there that they have to navigate through, absolutely incredible.
Amazing. Thank you for being on here with me today, Warren. He's on the West Shore Hotline. The 2024 football preview is out. It's massive and great, as usual, from Sharp Football Analysis. I've gotten to know Rich Rebar a little bit. Warren, Lord Reeves, as we call him in the fantasy space, and his work is a big part of this project too. So for fantasy players, really for anybody curious about what's predictive in football, this is kind of a must-have. So congrats on it, and I know you've said how much work went into it.
Yeah, it's a labor of love, especially at the end, because, you know, this is 4 months of work, but the last 2 months of cranking is very difficult. It's a marathon, not a sprint like these guys were doing here at the end of that race. And absolutely, if anybody's interested, it's over 550 pages. It's got a chapter on the Bills. It's got chapters on all other 31 teams. We've got win predictions. We've got fantasy forecasts. We've got betting insight. And you can get it for 50% off with the code BILLS. So B-I-L-L-S. If you put that code in at shark.football, it'll get you 50% off this book. And I promise it drops the price down to just over $15. If you do not find that this book is worth $15, I will give you your money back. Just contact me on Twitter. No problem doing it. No questions asked. It is going to blow your mind with how informative it is. I think it's going to be well worth your money, well worth the time that it takes to read it.
Well done. Well, there are many facets to the analysis on each team, the league in general. One of my favorites, and you're out there, right? I think right in front in this particular area every year, is the importance of the schedule, not just in who you're playing, but when, and really the injustices within that. And I point people toward your direction all the time when it came to last year, Warren, because last year's schedule, I don't know if it was the only team that you cared about like this, but you pointed out how Kansas City had it really tough in the second half. For 6 weeks in a row, including a game against the Bills, they played a team that was better rested than they. And what happened? I know they won the Super Bowl, and in fact, a couple of those playoff games went the other way, where they had more rest than their opponents, including Buffalo. But still, like, they struggled so badly down the stretch, and I'm not sure I heard anybody else allude to this as a possible explanation for it, but it would seem to have been one.
It was. So in my mind, you know, I know Mike North at the NFL scheduling office, and I understand how they schedule and why they schedule games, and they're trying to get the best matchups on TV, and the league has pivoted more into this. But, you know, they use it as an argument. Oh, well, but Kansas City Chiefs still won the Super Bowl, so it's fine. But that stretch that they had to deal with, this was part of the reason why they were a little bit undervalued down that playoff run and why they struggled during those weeks 12 through 17 games. When they played their games with a rest deficit of two or more days versus their opponent, so they had two or more days less rest than their opponent, they only won two out of those five games, and they went 1-4 ATS, covered the spread, meaning exceeding expectations before the game started. In all their other games, they went 13-2, and they covered 80% of those games against the spread, 12 out of 15. So they were great when rest wasn't a problem for them. When rest became a problem, especially late in the season, which is when rest matters more, it was a problem for them. Now, fortunately for you guys, this particular season especially, rest is not a big deal at all. I don't really look at one day of rest being an issue. If you have one day more, one day less, it's not that compounding of a factor. You guys only play one game all season. And actually, sorry to say on your show, but I've already bet the Detroit Lions. It's against the Detroit Lions in week 15. You are on the road in Detroit. You're playing with 3 days less rest because Detroit Lions come off of a Thursday night game, and you are off of back-to-back road games. So you have to go all the way to Los Angeles to play the Rams, and then you have to go to Detroit the very next week and play at a rest disadvantage of 3 days. But you also get the bye week in week 12 to prepare for the San Francisco 49ers in week 13. And those are the only two games, as indicated in the book, where you guys have a rest disparity versus your opponent from week 8 onward. So it's going to be a very clean schedule from that perspective. You're not going to have to play very many games at a disadvantage. You don't have very many games at an advantage over the second half of the season.
I don't remember the reason. Maybe it was similar to this, but I remember the first time you and I ever spoke, and it was before the 2018 season, and you said, week 7, maybe it was, hammer the Colts over the Bills. And the Colts did manage to win that game 37-5. So I'm not sure if that was the schedule or just what. Do I remember this correctly? For this year, Warren, the Niners, so the Bills, that's a big game in December. The Bills will play San Francisco off the bye on a Sunday night. I believe the Niners are in Green Bay the week before. And do I remember that the Niners really got it tough?
The Niners got it tough again. I do not understand. This is one of the things that I take the most issue with the NFL in the way that they're divvying up these schedules is there is no reason to make things as unfair from a rest perspective throughout the season, as well as looking at it year over year for certain teams. And this might have been the very first time that you and I did talk in 2018. I was banging my fist about some of the rest issues that the Bills were being dealt for in back-to-back seasons. And the San Francisco 49ers have the worst net rest in the NFL this year after having the worst net rest in the NFL last year. And if you look at the 49ers down the stretch, I mentioned how, you know, the more than one day is what matters most. And if you look at the San Francisco 49ers, and I also said earlier, just 2 minutes ago, that later in the season, that's when rest disparity matters more because these teams are tired and they're run down. If you look at the 49ers chapter on page 477 of the book, starting in week seven, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games from week 7 onward that the 49ers are playing with minus 3 days rest or more. In fact, from week 8 onward, they play 3 teams who are coming off of those teams' byes. So the 49ers are at minus 7 days rest advantage in those 3 games against the Cowboys, against the Seahawks, and against you guys, the Buffalo Bills. So it is a tough schedule from a rest perspective for the 49ers. It was tough last year. They managed to overcome it. But it doesn't mean it's fair. You know, just because you end up having success, they too, like the Kansas City Chiefs, struggled in the games that they were dealing with a rest disadvantage last year. Just because they're a good enough team to overcome that doesn't mean that it's fair. And from a scheduling perspective, our goal should be to try to make it as fair and equitable to all 32 teams as possible. It's never going to be perfect, but it must improve over what it's been like so
right.
far.
It's never going to be perfect, but I agree with you. It should be a priority. And it kind of, you wonder how much of one it really is. Warren Sharp, our guest here on WGR. I'm Mike Shope. You can check out his work, the 2024 football preview, as we've discussed, at Sharp Football on Twitter, sharpfootballanalysis.com. So the Bills going into this year, as you might guess, Warren, there's been a lot of consternation over the changes to the roster. Not that they all have to be bad. I mean, a lot of it is guys who had gotten older. Diggs, Hyde, Poyer, even Trey White with a couple of big injuries. Knowing everything that you know and have looked at, what is it, 10.5? Would you be maybe more optimistic than I might sound about this team this year? The schedule is not only interesting in terms of rest disparities and such, but the Bills have it pretty tough just in terms of who they play.
Yeah, they do have it pretty tough. They play the 10th toughest schedule by my preseason metrics, which are based upon forecasted win totals. And it's hard. You guys are going to need to improve over last season. And, you know, last year, I guess the biggest thought that we always would say entering the season is like, well, the Bills are going to go as far as Josh Allen can take them, right? Like, this is Josh Allen's team more than it ever was before, especially with what's happened to the wide receiver room and the secondary in terms of personnel leaving. And so this is Josh Allen's team. They'll go as far as he can take them. Well, Josh Allen last season, he took the fewest sacks of any quarterback in the NFL in terms of his sack rate. Mm-hmm. He was top 5, top 4 in success rate, in EPA per dropback. He had a good season in those regards. They sustained a number of injuries, but yet they were in a situation where you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs, and the Bills have 3 possessions, down 3 points in the fourth quarter, and when Josh Allen was working with the football, the offense was moving. But Josh Allen would, you know, your offensive coordinator, Brady, would call a run play, James Cook loses 3 yards. Call another run play, James Cook loses 4 yards. Then you get down to the field, he drives him down into field goal range, and your kicker misses a 44-yard field goal. So even though Josh Allen is playing fine, and we could always say, well, he could be a little better. Of course, every player could play a little bit better. I no longer have the opinion about your team that they'll go as far as Josh Allen can take them, because he can't drop back to throw every single football, and his receivers aren't going to catch every single football. So there's got to be other guys that are stepping up, especially in some of those key moments. And, you know, that cost you your game against the Kansas City Chiefs last year. I don't think Hopefully you'll be as injured as you were last year in some of those key positions, especially on the defensive side of the football, which is obviously egregious. You guys were, you know, the 11th most injured defense last season. But like, if you forecast that Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing all season for the Jets, and that defense was already good, and that defense already gave you guys problems a lot of times, and that offense for the Jets plays a little bit better, the Dolphins are in the mix as well. It's going to be hard to exceed 10.5 wins. It's certainly not a team I have presently bet against and said that they'll go under 10.5 wins. I haven't taken another one of their AFC East opponents to win the AFC East yet, but it's going to be a challenge, especially with you know, what I envision is the best position group that you guys have naturally is at quarterback. And other than that, you know, my guys went through and ranked the different position groups, and we don't find another one of your position groups to be top 10, even to be like well above average. So, you know, it still leans on Josh Allen, but he's got to get help.
By the way, feel free next time if you need it, Warren, when referring to that fourth quarter against Kansas City, to mix in a 2-yard DeMar Hamlin run on a fake punt. By the way.
Yeah, there you go. That was a great one.
You could do that too. One other stat, by the way, from that game, the Bills' final possession, Allen went 6-for-9 with 0-for-3 to Stephon Diggs and 6-for-6 to everybody else. You know, naturally, the fans are trying to talk themselves into this could be better without one guy. This is how the Bills and Allen himself are talking, which you'd expect. Right, what the advantages of having, you know, so many more options without there being an obvious number one target. Do you have a thought on sort of or a theory on the merits of that? Because you know you've already gone in on the position group and everything, and it probably does look the wide receiver group probably does look weaker. But you know you want to think here that the door being open, there being the chance for more variety, could actually work out.
Yeah, it could. Look, I know some things that there were a lot of issues behind the scenes and consternation with some of those receivers who are no longer playing, and that's not goes beyond Stephon Diggs, and there could be some addition by subtraction in that regard. And I'm not going to say from a talent perspective, but just from an execution perspective and a locker room perspective, that could result in being a little bit of a positive. The other positive that I think could happen, and we know that Knox got injured down the stretch last season. I wrote a lot about it in the book, in the chapter on the Bills. Two tight end sets for you guys were absolutely phenomenal. If you look through week 10 prior to Knox going down, passes with two tight ends out on the field, Josh Allen was plus .43 EPA. Passes with only one tight end, minus .01. He averaged 9.1 yards per attempt on 77 attempts, throwing out some numbers here. When they had two tight ends, only 7.4 yards per attempt with a sub 50% success rate on 181 passes with only one tight end out on the field. These are early down passes only. So I'm excited to see them utilize more two tight end sets. Now, we know that Brady didn't use as many two tight end sets as we saw Dorsey use, but I think that was probably because of the injuries there. So I hope that Brady leans more into the two tight end sets because I think that will be beneficial for you guys. I also think that they need to lean a little bit more into play action, which is something he could have been doing. Brady could have been doing on early downs more. Dorsey was doing it at a 32% rate last year. Brady was only doing at a 24% rate last year, but Josh Allen was substantially better when utilizing play action last season than not using play action. And so I hope to see your offense looking a lot like two tight end sets out on early downs with a lot of passing coming off of play action. I don't like the running out of two tight end sets for you guys. It wasn't successful last year. I doubt it will be very successful this year. I would stick to running from spread formation like 11 personnel, but I think if you lean a little bit more into those two tight end sets, which you were doing, you know, obviously Dorsey was doing that at a very high rate. Through week 5, the Bills were using two tight ends on almost 45% of snaps. That was higher than they used three wide receiver sets. So I'm excited to see what the offense could look like there, and it would reduce the reliance or the absence of a receiver like Stephon Diggs, but he's certainly more talented than the receivers that you have on the roster right now. So I don't know that I'd say you're better without him, but I do think you can play better without him, simply from the fact that if you lean into the two tight end sets and you get guys on the same page with Josh Allen and they're where they're supposed to be and they're running the right routes that they're supposed to run, that could absolutely help you guys.
Yeah, you know, we know that teams don't always do what seems optimal, to your point.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Point about play action, this has got to be most teams with play action. We've learned for years about how kind of a cheat code it can be. But I do think the Bills have other motives to have the two tight ends on the field at once as well, even if they don't see it this way. I mean, Knox got a good contract. It was never my favorite idea. And Kincaid, of course, is first-round draft capital. You also have here, Ward, I'm not sure if you would see it this way, but Kincaid, why might the Bills not have been so successful running out of that formation? Because Kincaid is not like traditional tight end type, right? I mean, he is a downfield threat. That ticked up late in the season with Brady. So, I don't know. I probably, with you, maybe couldn't get away with calling him a wide receiver. But would you acknowledge that there's his particular skill set or, you know, how he's used? It's not exactly like we're used to when we think of tight end.
No, you're absolutely right. And Dalton Kincaid had those downfield targets arise late in the season, through week 16, and this is not the optimal way to use Kincaid, in my opinion, either. through week 16, Kincaid averaged only 4.6 air yards per target. To the layman, that just means how far is the quarterback throwing the ball down the field. So just short of 5 yards is the average depth of target for Kincaid. Through week 16, he only had 3 total targets on throws 20-plus yards down the field. Now, over the last 4 games of the season, including the playoffs, they targeted Kincaid at an average of 12.5 air yards per target. So we're talking now he's almost 13 yards of depth on those passes versus less than 5. I would like to see them utilize him a little bit more as a downfield threat. And, yeah, splitting him out as a third wide receiver, even though he is a tight end, I don't have an issue with using him in that regard more this upcoming season, especially without Diggs. The whole key is it depends how that defense is playing him, right? If the defense is, and this is where Josh Allen and Joe Brady have to be able to make those adjustments at the line of scrimmage. When you have a dynamic tight end like a Kincaid who can play a little bit more wide receiver, we could say, oh, they'll use 12 personnel, but is the defense going to play him like a wide receiver with an extra DB, or are they going to play him like somebody who could be in line and have take an extra DB off the field? And then how are you adjusting your play calls and audibles based upon the way that the defense is aligning from a personnel and an alignment perspective? So there's a lot of things that you guys can do that it opens up when Kincaid is out on the field. So hopefully he stays healthy, hopefully Knox stays healthy, and then you've got a great punch there and can be very unpredictable offensively, which is the number one thing that any offense has to do in modern football. The minute you become predictable, you are giving the defense an upper hand that they don't need. The rules are against defenses anyways. They're pro offense. So stop being predictable. I love it when offenses utilize those two tight end sets and one of them is more of a downfield threat.
And quickly, just to follow up on that, I'm thinking about the running back position and how, you know, to not become predictable. Interesting how you might have to use certain running backs in situations that maybe they're not perfectly suited for. Like if you have a so-called pass-catching back, well, if the key is every time he's on the field, it's a pass play or to, you know, maybe even a flip to the running back, I've got to avoid that. Do you have a thought on how the Bills sit at that position? I mean, James Cook, fourth in the league in rushing yards, doesn't seem to be the prototype of a three down back, you know, catching the ball. He dropped a few. I guess that could be anybody. Ray Davis out of the draft this year. Do you like or dislike, you know, anything about what the Bills could be at running back?
Well, the number one thing that stands out to me, and this changes year over year, but you guys are going up against the 7th toughest schedule of run defenses this upcoming season. Last year, you played the 18th most difficult. So that's a fairly substantial jump up there into the top 10. And you guys have to be basically, I don't care so much who the back is. Obviously, that matters from a GM's perspective. And, you know, each one has their skill sets. And yes, you're absolutely right. Having a guy who is only on the field to catch passes, I look at that type of stuff. You know, when I'm analyzing teams and their predictability and their play calling, I look at what's the pass rate when this guy's on the field versus that guy on the field. What do they do when they have, you know, the two tight ends? What's their pass rate? What's their pass rate from a particular player who's out on the field? Where's his tight end aligning? What's their pass rate? So we look at that because you're trying not to tip your hand to the defense. But other than that, as long as you're avoiding that predictability there, it really becomes – you can get any back to be a little bit more efficient based upon when you are running the football. What time in the game, like what's the down distance situation and most of all defense that you're running the ball into. And audibling and checking to runs when the defense might be in a lighter box on those, you know, spread formations where a receiving back is out on the football field, that's going to probably net a little bit more efficiency than running the ball from 12 personnel on first down, which is fortunately what the Bills were doing a fair amount last season. And like I said, that's what got you guys into trouble there sometimes in that playoff game. Mm-hmm. Second series down 3 points against the Chiefs in the fourth quarter. James Cook's running on first down for a loss of 4 yards. And all of a sudden it's 2nd and 14 and you have to try to figure out a way out of that hole. And of course they end up punting the ball on 4th and 12. So you just have to be smart. with that.
Warren, I've kept you quite a while. I want to make sure I plug the book one more time, Sharp Football Analysis. Best way to buy it, and you mentioned the promo code too. Would that be, well, it's easy, I guess. Through Twitter, you can find a link. Is there a better way?
No, just go to sharp.football is the fastest probably. Okay. Sharp.football in your URL and just enter the code BILLS and you'll get 50% off the book.
Big fan, Warren. I'm so glad we could talk today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Warren Sharp at Sharp Football if you want to dive in deep for this year, the Bills, and we didn't really get to any other teams. But you know, that's fine. You didn't maybe need me to get to other teams. He did say, you know, he's honest, of course, or else we wouldn't want to call him. He did say he's not exactly betting against them. Doesn't love the over 10.5, hasn't bet the Jets or the Dolphins. Sounded like maybe he was capable of it. But like many, and myself too, the schedule is harder and just don't feel quite as good about the roster. Should be pretty good. Can they be great? You get to 12 wins or more, that's a great season, or even probably a great team, not always. You have the Vikings from a couple of years ago. It doesn't have to be a great team, but it's a great record. 803-0550 for your calls. Kincaid, James Cook, I don't really want to sit with the fourth quarter of that Chiefs game last year, but he made the point a couple times, you know, the strategy in that drive. It's something we talked a lot about right after that game happened. Not so much since. Maybe that's just as well. It's a fun night for Bills fans out at the stadium for the scrimmage. The gates, I believe, are open, and the practice gets underway in just over an hour. Sal Capaccio will join me later to set it up. Would love to chat. Lines are open for you. 803-0550. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
I'm watching it, man. I'm surprised that we're not seeing no big runs. You know, that's shocking. You know what I mean? But, hey, this is the first game. So I'm figuring a lot of coaches are going to evaluate this game and try to figure out what they can do to utilize to get some more big plays in there. But right now, it's kind of shaky right now. But who knows? First game, we'll see.
That is Devin Hester. You might have seen him or heard him last night at the Hall of Fame game. He's going in Canton this weekend. You know, the best point I heard or saw on the kickoffs, which were relatively uneventful, it's weird, isn't it, to see the teams lined up like that and it all just is so different, was from Jeremy. I saw Jeremy tweet. Like, the idea is not that they'll all be big returns. The league just wants there to be a better chance of one. And I think they probably will accomplish that. I mean, they're not all touchbacks anymore, at least. So they should be able to accomplish that. But are they all going to be big plays? You know, they wouldn't want that either. I don't think it's interesting to me that the league took this leap without even on its own experimenting in the preseason or anything like that. Like you would see in hockey, we're going to try whatever. You know, different things over the years in the minors, or football can't exactly use the minors. Although that's almost what the XFL serves as. You know, they took this idea from that league, but they just dived right in, and this is what we're going to do. So really, like, what about yourself as a fan? I know I wouldn't want there to be a kickoff return touchdown in every game or anything. You know, you want it to be just once in a while, but not feel have it feel like there's almost no chance of it. So I'm okay with that. Of course, when it looks different, you're going to get a crowd of people who are just going to complain about it because it's change, and who knows what they'll say, right? Like, oh, it's not a real sport anymore or something like that. Because why? The league wants to, while improving its odds of an entertaining play, maybe make the players safer. Like, really, we have to complain about that? I choose not to. I feel like this is I wasn't expecting the league, like I said, and have said many times, to make such a big jump in that direction. So I applaud them for it. You know, you have one preseason game where, in every other way, we sort of make excuses for bad plays or lack of excitement because it's the first preseason game. So I would advise that, in terms of the kickoffs, you don't fall into the trap of thinking that, well, in this particular area, it should have been more exciting or better. It's logical to think it would have been the other way because teams have never done this before. I also saw from Kevin Cole, who tweeted how he paused the screen on every kickoff, and he said that the coverage teams were offsides every time. And this is one that could get annoying. And this is the kind of thing that annoys me, because when I'm watching a game and somebody's lined up offside and it's not called, it's frustrating to me. Like, I don't want everything called, and I have to accept that that's never going to happen and that's not the best result. But, you know, offside should be a penalty. And if it slows the game down or whatever, something, there's some reason to sort of be less than right on point when it comes to that. I don't know. Offside is offside. And so I don't want it to be reviewable either, because we already have way too much of that. But what Kevin Cole wrote was, what do officials want to do about that? You know, do we want re-kicks all the time, or is it just going to be 5 yards added on because the coverage team was offside? I think that's a tough call. To be able to see right where everybody is on the line and at the exact moment that the ball is touched. I don't know. Like, that seems like that it's officials too would have to adjust to this, but I'm for it. I think it's different. I think that's, for me, that's good. And you're taking a play that had become kind of just a boring, repetitive, almost meaningless play and, you know, injecting new life into it. So I'm for it. Let's go to James next. Hi, James.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I'm 48. I'm right there with you, and I work from home, and I can't stop watching the Olympics during the day. At night, not so much, but the events are just so cool.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to touch on what you had said in your first segment. So I grew up in Western New York in, you know, the 90s, graduated in 94. Majority of, like, my classmates were all Bills fans. I wasn't as big of a football fan then. And every year that they lost the Super Bowl, within a day, Bills are the worst team. They're the worst team. They suck. Fire everybody. And I just couldn't get over that because, like, if that's your team, they were the best team, right, for the whole season, basically. So that once I started to really follow football, I kind of, like, if they lose on Sunday, I'm upset for a day, and then it's like, all right, on to the next week. End of the season, I may not listen to anything for a week or two, disappointed. Let's start looking forward to the next season, because you never know. I mean, these are the best athletes that are out there. So, I don't know. I guess it's different now with a quarterback compared to the last 20 years before where...
The stakes are higher. Yeah, the stakes are higher, right. Yeah, but you overall, you maybe describe yourself as kind of mellow about it.
I mean, no, I look forward to Sunday every week. Like, that's my thing. Like, my kids are into it now. Like, I'm a hardcore Bills fan. I just don't, like, I don't know. I'm not a win the Super Bowl or else type guy.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good to me. I was talking earlier, thanks James, about this year, and I've said this often this summer, like this year I think is a little more challenging because what's happened the last 3-4 years has left the Bills in a position where it's really only making the Super Bowl at least that will suffice, that will seem like progress, that will seem like reaching the goal. And otherwise, it's just one more year on the pile, and everybody talking about you lumps them all together and points out your faults. And so during the regular season, how able will anybody be? I mean, not everybody, but for me, like, how able will you be to enjoy it and appreciate what it is if the Bills win 12 games again or something like that? Because I don't want to just sit here every day and sound like, or just even be, yeah, but it's the playoffs that matter. So, right. I mean, it's a balance. Like, for me, it's never fire everybody when you lose a playoff game, and I just don't get that at all. I don't think that's most fans. I think most fans are pretty reasonable about it and recognize what you have here, what you had in the early 90s, was a lot of winning. And so it's not fire everybody. But with McDermott, it is a it's worth discussing. I have found this. I have sometimes had to be pulled into it. But it's worth discussing. All right, but when? Every year is different. This year, you have that particular high standard, almost the highest as it gets, with some important roster turnover that may or may not end up being positive. And so I think for the perception of the Bills and for however will, you know, be about their season, it's a tough equation. Because they're probably, who knows, every year is different, it's an unpredictable league, they're probably not quite as good. And we're also going to need to see more winning than they've been able to do in the playoffs. And that's a tough equation. Getting connected with the fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Warren Sharp talking a couple of different times about the fourth quarter of the playoff game. Maybe if you were like James, you sat out the detailed, the arguing and the scrutiny of the end of that playoff game. I wouldn't blame you, but there was a lot of it. And, you know, he had an interesting perspective, of course, about it. Cook in that fourth quarter, these were his rushes. Second and two for minus three. That led, one play later was the fake punt, the failed fake punt. First and 10, Cook for minus four, and they punted two plays later. That's two rushes for minus seven. And then in the last drive, he had two carries for a total of 1 yard. One was on second and four, and one was on first and 10, which Warren pointed out. So what have I got? I've got four carries for minus six on those plays, down and distance, relevant to the analysis. What he was saying that was pretty interesting was, you know, the idea of how much are the Bills asking Josh Allen to do? And he was kind of like, you almost can't ask him to do more, because look at what last year was. Look at this game. They hand the ball off to their number one running back. He's going backwards. You throw in the ball to Diggs, who's not catching it. And you still got to field goal range. You know, you still were so close to winning. It's just going to be interesting this year. Macro level, how the offense is different, who emerges from these receivers, everything we've been talking about all the time. And then ultimately, if they're in the playoffs again, and you've had these losses to the Chiefs just by inches, a couple of them, other playoff losses were not as close. Will this be the year where you make that one play? The field goal, one more pass. Even this is probably even better than talking about James Cook or Allen. When you think of that game, it's defense. And the Bills had big injuries on defense that cost them. Kansas City's, you know, really good, but they had an easy time of it per play in that game last year. You just don't, you know, of course, want to have those injury challenges, but this is where you get to Von Miller or whoever on the defense. Douglas, can one of these guys this year in that one moment make the play you needed last year that you didn't get? And really with Miller, there's some renewed excitement about him through camp. It's about like it was when he got here. It's about the fourth quarter, or it's about the postseason, which they didn't have him for, you know, 2 years ago, and last year he was not effective. So that's what, you know, whether it's him or somebody lesser known, you want just that one play this year. If you get lucky enough, you're successful enough to get into another game with the Chiefs or the Bengals or whoever it is. Lines are open at 803-0550. Sal will join me in less than 20 minutes. The blue and red scrimmage tonight at the stadium. I'm sure a lot of you are headed there now. I'll talk to Sal about what to expect And more coming up soon here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. So I got caught. I was just in the middle of trying to find the name of an athlete, but I guess I'm out of time. Don't have Bulldog here to lean on. There was a USA track runner, a woman today running the 200, I think. I'm not even sure. But she qualified. It was a heat. She qualified and was interviewed. And she gave my kind of answer to a question. And I apologize for not having her name ready. I'll find it for you later. But she was interviewed about acclimating to Paris. You know, this is what they're always asking these athletes, you know, in one form or another, is, well, how can you get comfortable here? Deal with the pressure, all the different things like that. And I mean, how do you think you would do it? Just generally, right? I don't know the regimen of the runners or the swimmers or anything like that, but just generally, don't you feel that when it's the right before the race and the camera's right in their face and you're like, what is that person thinking right now? Are they calm? Are they afraid? What are they thinking? It's just one thing that's so great about sports is the ability for the very best athletes to handle that moment. So, I mean, I always say too, like, especially about the Olympics, because you get one shot, it's a 10 or 20 second race in 4 years. It's not the Orioles we're going to play again tomorrow. You know, like, this is your one moment. It's just fascinating. So she runs her heat, she qualifies, and she comes over to, I think, Lewis Johnson, who asks her, so how have you been able, it's a fine question, how have you been able to, you know, calm yourself, to acclimate to being in Paris here on the Olympic stage? And she said, I have it. I try not to think about it. You know, it's the same distance. It's the same race that I've run so many times. You know, it's the same. So I'm trying to think of it that way. And I would like to think that that's how I would do it. I mean, that agrees with me. The more time I spend thinking about the fact that this is my one chance in 4 years, I'd go crazy. I can't probably just deny that thought, but I don't want to dwell on it. I'm running the 100. The 100 is the 100. There's a gun. You go as fast as you can, and it ends. And it's no different in Paris than it would be in Milwaukee. Just a bigger stadium, maybe, but bigger stakes. Really just run the race. And I just love that approach when I hear it from athletes. I'm sure a lot of them think like that or are coached like that. But I think in the media setting, you kind of just want to give an answer, and it's maybe not exactly what you mean. You just sort of get through it. But this woman was like direct with her answer and like, no, this, I'm not acclimated at all. I'm just running 100. You know, this is what I do. Love that. So again, I apologize for not having the name of the runner, but you know, I'll try to find it for you. Sal, coming up next, the gates are open, fans filing in out at the stadium for the scrimmage tonight. Sal will tell us what to look for, what matters. That'll be next. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.
Kids are into it now. Like, it's, I'm a hardcore Bills fan. I just don't, like, I don't know. I'm not a win the Super Bowl or else mm-hmm. type guy.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good to me. I was talking earlier, thanks, James, about this year, and I've said this often this summer, like this year I think is a little more challenging because what's happened the last 3-4 years has left the Bills in a position where it's really only making the Super Bowl, at least, that will suffice, that will seem like progress, that will seem like reaching the goal. And otherwise, it's just one more year on the pile, and everybody talking about you lumps them all together and points out your faults. And so during the regular season, how able will anybody be? I mean, not everybody, but for me, like, how able will you be to enjoy it and appreciate what it is if the Bills win 12 games again or something like that? Because I don't want to just sit here every day and sound like, or just even be, yeah, but It's the playoffs that matter. So, right. I mean, it's a balance. Like, for me, it's never fire everybody when you lose a playoff game, and I just don't get that at all. I don't think that's most fans. I think most fans are pretty reasonable about it and recognize what you have here, what you had in the early 90s, was a lot of winning. And so it's not fire everybody. But with McDermott, it is it's worth discussing. I have found this. I have sometimes had to be pulled into it. But it's worth discussing. All right, but when? Every year is different. This year, you have that particular high standard, almost the highest as it gets, with some important roster turnover that may or may not end up being positive. And so I think for the perception of the Bills and for however will, you know, be about their season, it's a tough equation. Because they're probably, who knows, every year is different, it's an unpredictable league, they're probably not quite as good. And we're also going to need to see more winning than they've been able to do in the playoffs. And that's a tough equation. Getting connected with the fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Warren Sharp talking a couple of different times about the fourth quarter of the playoff game. Maybe if you were like James, you sat out the detailed, the arguing and the scrutiny of the end of that playoff game. I wouldn't blame you, but there was a lot of it. And, you know, he had an interesting perspective, of course, about it. Cook in that fourth quarter, these were his rushes. Second and two for minus three. That led, one play later was the fake punt, the failed fake punt. First and 10, Cook for minus four, and they punted two plays later. That's two rushes for minus seven. And then in the last drive, he had two carries for a total of 1 yard. One was on second and four, and one was on first and 10, which Warren pointed out. So what have I got? I've got four carries for minus six on those plays, down and distance, relevant to the analysis. What he was saying that was pretty interesting was, you know, the idea of how much are the Bills asking Josh Allen to do? And he was kind of like, you almost can't ask him to do more, because look at what last year was. Look at this game. They hand the ball off to their number one running back. He's going backwards. You throw in the ball to Diggs, who's not catching it. And you still got to field goal range. You know, you still were so close to winning. It's just going to be interesting this year. Macro level, how the offense is different, who emerges from these receivers, everything we've been talking about all the time. And then ultimately, if they're in the playoffs again, and you've had these losses to the Chiefs by inches, a couple of them, other playoff losses were not as close. Will this be the year where you make that one play? The field goal, one more pass. Even this is probably even better than talking about James Cook or Allen. When you think of that game, it's defense. And the Bills had big injuries on defense that cost them. Kansas City's, you know, really good, but they had an easy time of it per play in that game last year. You just don't, you know, of course, want to have those injury challenges, but this is where you get to Von Miller or whoever on the defense. Douglas, can one of these guys this year in that one moment make the play you needed last year that you didn't get? And really with Miller, there's some renewed excitement about him through camp. It's about like it was when he got here. It's about the fourth quarter, or it's about the postseason, which they didn't have him for, you know, 2 years ago, and last year he was not effective. So that's what, you know, whether it's him or somebody lesser known, you want just that one play this year. If you get lucky enough, you're successful enough to get into another game with the Chiefs or the Bengals or whoever it is. Lines are open at 803-0550. Sal will join me in less than 20 minutes. The blue and red scrimmage tonight at the stadium. I'm sure a lot of you are headed there now. I'll talk to Sal about what to expect and more coming up soon here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. So I got caught. I was just in the middle of trying to find the name of an athlete, but I guess I'm out of time. Don't have Bulldog here to lean on. There was a USA track runner, a woman today running the 200, I think. I'm not even sure. But she qualified. It was a heat. She qualified and was interviewed. And she gave my kind of answer to a question. And I apologize for not having her name ready. I'll find it for you later. But she was interviewed about acclimating to Paris. You know, this is what they're always asking these athletes, you know, in one form or another is, well, how can you get comfortable here? Deal with the pressure, all the different things like that. And I mean, how do you think you would do it? Just generally, right? I don't know the regimen of the runners or the swimmers or anything like that, but just generally, don't you feel that when it's the right before the race and the camera's right in their face? And you're like, what is that person thinking right now? Are they calm? Are they afraid? What are they thinking? It's just one thing that's so great about sports is the ability for the very best athletes to handle that moment. So, I mean, I always say too, like, especially about the Olympics, because you get one shot. It's a 10 or 20 second race in 4 years. It's not the Orioles we're going to play again tomorrow. You know, like this is your one moment. It's just fascinating. So she runs her heat, she qualifies, and she comes over to, I think, Lewis Johnson, who asks her, so how have you been able, it's a fine question, how have you been able to, you know, calm yourself to acclimate to being in Paris here on the Olympic stage? And she said, I haven't. I try not to think about it. You know, it's the same distance. It's the same race that I've run so many times. You know, it's the same. So I'm trying to think of it that way. And I would like to think that that's how I would do it. I mean, that agrees with me. The more time I spend thinking about the fact that this is my one chance in 4 years, I'd go crazy. I can't probably just deny that thought, but I don't want to dwell on it. I'm running the 100. The 100 is the 100. There's a gun. You go as fast as you can, and it ends. And it's no different in Paris than it would be in Milwaukee. Just a bigger stadium, maybe, but bigger stakes. Really just run the race. And I just love that approach when I hear it from athletes. I'm sure a lot of them think like that or are coached like that. But I think in the media setting, you kind of just want to give an answer, and it's maybe not exactly what you mean. You just sort of get through it. But this woman was like direct with her answer, and like, no, I'm not acclimated at all. I'm just running 100. You know, this is what I do. Love that. So again, I apologize for not having the name of the runner, but you know, I'll try to find it for you. Sal coming up next. The gates are open. Fans filing in out at the stadium for the scrimmage tonight. Sal will tell us what to look for, what matters. That'll be next. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.